Thank everyone. Welcome back tonight. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Last time we were in this passage, we were looking at a widow's prayer, and tonight we're going to see that contrasted with the publican's prayer, and before that, we're going to see it contrasted with the Pharisee's prayer. It's always a joy to sit and listen to our Savior teach us about life in His kingdom, about our life and our service for Him. And if there's anything we could say about our prayer life, I think cumulatively, every one of us, is that it's something that we'd say we don't quite do enough of, that we could always do more. But how wonderful and how precious it is that we have a Savior who cares and hears our needs. Tonight, as we look at Luke chapter 18, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 14, just a few verses tonight, as we look at the publican's prayer. Luke tells us, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, 'God, I thank thee, I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, our blessed Savior, You are our guide, as we've sang about. You are the Holy One, as we've sang about. You are the one that we long to see and stand in Your presence. And Lord, tonight we thank You for yet another opportunity to gather in Your name to look at Your beautiful words and see Your truths for our lives. Lord, tonight I pray that the message that You spoke, the parable that You told, would translate into our lives. Lord, it's all about our perspective, as we talked about this morning. Keep us humble and teach us to pray always. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. We're going to start off tonight with this righteous man's prayer. Now, in review, the parable does follow the lesson on the persistent widow. Do you remember that? Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, the widow woman who went and harried the unjust judge, and she convinced him so much, she vexed him so much that he finally gives in and makes judgment on her behalf. And Jesus's teaching on this wasn't so much that if you and I just harry God, He's got to act and we'll have to do it. No, no. It's a contrast. If this is the way an unjust judge treats this widow whom he should have had special service for and special audience with, how much more so our Heavenly Father who cares for His children? So we have this parable tonight about these two men praying. We find something very unique about Jesus' purpose and His intent in verse 9. This parable is spoken to the ones self-certain in their own righteousness. Luke tells us, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." And we see this all across the words of this Pharisee's prayer. The ones who are so certain, they're self-assured, that, hey, everything is A-okay with me. Look at everything that I do. And for far too long, the church has got this name for us as people that do. Not that we should diminish our responsibility of being salt and light in this world. That's not what I'm saying at all. But that our identity is wrapped up in all the good and all the kindness that we do, and it can become an area of pride for us. Look at all that I have accomplished. Look at all that I have built. You hear this in the testimony of men who stand up and preach on our television sets, really anywhere across this land and across this world. Look at what all I have accomplished. Now give me just a little bit more, and I can do a little bit more. And I want you to know, I understand the temptation to say that. Because it does take money to keep things moving and keep things operating. But the people that I hear saying, look at what all I have done, really have taken the spotlight away from Jesus. And these people here, the ones that Jesus is addressing this parable to, these are the ones that are certain they are in the right, especially them. They like to look down upon others not like themselves. I think that's the struggle with being a Christian in the world today. To not be part of the world. In the world, but not of the world. We have a tendency to distance ourselves or to think about what we once were, and to the exclusion of, and in truth and in reality and in true estimation, if you and I have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we are no more gracious or no more indebted than one beggar who's told another beggar where to find bread, as the saying goes. You and I don't deserve the grace that Jesus has lavished on us upon the cross, but I don't need to diminish you either. Because spending a lot of time talking about us right now takes our focus away from the one who is really the one who is important, Jesus. And his audience that he's speaking to isn't just a type of people, but a very specific group of people. Because he's going to name the person in this prayer parable. He's going to talk about the Pharisees. Now, it's no wonder that the Pharisees rejected Jesus. They were righteous in themselves. Remember Matthew 23? Verses 27 through 28. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto all men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The words that Jesus had for the Pharisees weren't light. But these men certainly did think much of what they did. They thought so much about all that they did, as a Pharisee is about to unfold for us in his prayer. But remember, Jesus has made it clear on many, many occasions throughout the Gospels that righteousness is not possible apart from him. And that's really what it comes down to. The Pharisees are quite content with all that they have done. All of the ritual and all of the hype that they have followed through with certainly demonstrates that they are righteous. But Jesus has told us time and time again that righteousness is not possible apart from him. Remember John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Righteousness isn't something we get from following the law. It's not something we get from doing and keeping up with our obligations and our responsibilities. No, righteousness is the life that flows into us through the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for our sins. So we find the backstory to the parable now coming. We find that both men are listed here to go to the temple to pray. It's the righteous Pharisee. That makes sense that he's there. That he would be busy in the prayer at the temple because that's what he does. He's a righteous man. He's all about serving God and all about doing everything that he's supposed to do in an early fashion. He's not even late. He's here at the temple praying, and that absolutely makes 100% sense to us that there would be a righteous man praying in a temple because, after all, that's where a righteous man should be, right? But we find there's another person praying at the temple. It's the dishonest and the treacherous tax collector. He's the one that seems out of place. Remember, a publican, he is a tax gatherer. That's really his job. It was to go in to collect taxes for the government. They were so despised by their own people because they were so motivated by greed. The opportunity for them to levy whatever tax on you they felt fair, just as long as the government received their portion, the tax collectors oftentimes would go a lot further than they were supposed to. If they were supposed to take out a dollar and they charged you five, well, you couldn't make any qualms about it. You paid the five because that was the demand made of you. For if the trouble. So the tax collectors could really enact whatever tax or whatever penalty they were. This was also how their livelihood was made. Rome didn't mind that the tax collectors were being greedy or that they were overtaxing. Just as long as Rome got her part, the tax collector got his part. That's how he made his living. But they were often motivated by greed. Not only that, but they were despised by their countrymen because they had aligned themselves to be the minions of the Roman government collecting taxes. Because they were despised by their countrymen, they were also shared a degree of, well, a lack of respect by the Roman government. Because they could see clearly, this person has no scruples. They'll turn against their own people, but hey, Rome was about getting your taxes. So the publican, anytime we come across the publican in the scriptures, we find that the stigma associated with being a tax collector is not a good thing. And today, tax collectors still aren't considered a very good thing. But this tax collector, this publican, he's the one that seems out of place at the temple. But he's not there like we find later on in the Gospels where you have the money changers at the temple that are making a show and creating the business of selling sacrifices and selling animals for sacrifice at the temple. This isn't what's in play here. This publican is at the temple for real business, heart business. And Jesus tells us that the Pharisee stood to pray. Now, the word that he uses here for standing isn't really anything extravagant. It's just quite simply that he stood up to pray. Quite frankly, the publican does the same thing. But it's the Pharisee standing to pray publicly, and the prayer that he prays publicly that shows us exactly where he stands. He publicly presents his case with his righteous declaration. Thank God that I'm not like these sinners. And he lists off a group of people that he proves himself to be better than. The extortioners, thieves and robbers. The unjust, people who have no regard for the law, they're lawbreakers. Adulterers, people who are unfaithful. And this publican, the tax gatherer, who's there to pray in the temple as well. And the publican, as he stands up and he thanks God that he's not like any of these lawbreakers or any of these unrighteous people, he thanks God for that. And you know what? Thank God tonight if you're not like that, because it's by his grace that you are not like that. But it's not a badge of pride, but rather brings us to a place of humility. For by the grace of Jesus, we are not what we could be, but we are everything that he has made us to be. So the Pharisee cries out, "Lord, look what I do. I'm so much better than all of these people, and look what I do. I fast 2 times a week, he says. But remember Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." The Pharisees already been rebuked for this type of behavior and this type of attitude towards fasting. This, "Look at what I have done. I skip 2 times a week. I will not eat. I'll fast 2 times a week. And Jesus said, "If you're going to do that for the Lord, don't make it known publicly. That's between you and God. Our service isn't for the benefit of others. It's for our devotion to God. That other people take notice, that should not be our focus or our intent. That's a benefit of it. But if you and I are serving God only because of the way it looks to other people, we have completely missed the point, and we are guilty of the Pharisees' sin. The Pharisee also declares, "I give my tithe." But again, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has already told us, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." It is almost as if this publican and this Pharisee, who the story is being told of him, this Pharisee is making all of these classic blunders, making these statements, making these declarations that Jesus has already taught on, and he's using this device once more to show the difference between the two men's prayers. The Pharisee considers himself righteous because he practices righteousness. We saw the righteous man's prayer, but now let's look at the prayer of a righteous man. And there's a contrast, and there's a big difference. We find in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven." Now, I've heard it brought out many times about the two postures that they took. And in this parable, both men seem to be standing. One is standing in the middle of the crowd. The other one is standing outside the crowd. The publican, he stands to make his case with what Jesus tells us, his head bowed, a humbled head. And his cry as he beats his breast, "Lord, have mercy on this sinner. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." That word merciful, he's crying out and he's asking God to not show his wrath, to withhold his wrath, to be appeased, to show favor toward. Now, these are two different prayers. "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these other men. Lord, be merciful to me." This publican really has a fair estimation of himself and to whom he's speaking to. This publican, we're told, goes home with righteousness rendered. Jesus telling us that the publican, after he lifted his eyes into heaven and smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner," he says, "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." So you've got one who's wanting everyone to see how important he is and how righteous he is, and he makes his declaration publicly about how good he is, and you have the other one who esteems himself so poorly and so lowly, the only thing he can say is, God, be merciful unto me. And Jesus says, this is the one that goes home justified. It was Paul telling us in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 25, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A familiar verse, right? Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set to be forth a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This publican knows exactly what he needs to do because he knows exactly who he is and he knows exactly where he needs to go to the only one who can do something about his problem. And he does so in the temple, standing afar off. So we've seen here in the parable two people that have prayed. One who thinks himself to be righteous, and one who's declared righteous by Jesus. The question now before us is, who's the one that values righteousness anyway? Because I know if you're thinking about our church life, the one who's doing all the good things, that's the guy right there who certainly does care about righteousness. Now remember, the good, the obedience, the faithfulness to serving Jesus, that comes after we're saved. Not as a condition of faith, but as a condition of obedience. We serve Jesus, and I am not tonight discounting anything that this Pharisee has done, save the way that he has done it. He's gone against the spirit of what Jesus told him to do. If you're going to fast, don't make it known. If you're going to tithe, don't do it for men's applause. But this publican who sees himself in a proper light and comes before the Lord with a head hung low, he's the one that Jesus says goes home righteous. He's broken and he's humbled, in contrast to the one who really thinks a lot of himself. But Jesus tells us in verse 14, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Abased, knocked down by our self-valued righteousness. Paul, in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This is the Pharisees' problem. Thinking that they understand and that they know what righteousness looks like, because after all, they are the experts. They're the ones who are supposed to know. They are the last to know what righteousness is, because they really don't care about righteousness. They just care about the way things look in front of other people. But Jesus continues, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So Romans 10:3, we find out about the one who thinks they're righteous. Look at Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The one who was seeking to set up the system to where he had it all figured out and you could see how good he was, Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, you don't even have a leg to stand on, because Jesus has made an end of the law for righteousness. That he's completed it, that he has fulfilled it, and that it is simply a matter of faith, trusting, believing. And this is the problem that the Pharisees can't do. This is the thing that they hate. And if you've been with us on Wednesday nights, you have seen the Pharisees reject one more time. As the crowds cried out, crucify him, crucify him. The Pharisees are so motivated, demonstrating their rejection of Jesus. But he's the only way So the lesson we close tonight with: both men's prayers were heard. And both men's prayers were heard by the one to whom they prayed to. It's just that the Pharisee, he was standing to pray for everyone's attention, praying for his own exaltation. And the people that he wanted to hear heard it. But the publican who saw his need, cries out to God for mercy. And Jesus says he went home with righteousness. You see, the lesson as we close tonight is righteousness isn't the result of what I do, but solely by what Jesus has done. The Pharisee will never get it, but only the humble one, he's the one that he reached down and saved us wherever we were. And God forbid that you and I should take on that Pharisee mind and puff up and promote and rob Jesus of the authority, of the glory that he alone deserves. Let's all stand tonight.